to another episode of the Game of Horizon After Hours podcast. This is episode 22. Yeah, that's a lot better since I fucked it up the first time. This is Alex. I am joined by Sean and Ted. How are you guys doing?
It's great.
Great.
Oh, great. My.
You know, I would have to say great as well, because you guys know why. We're going to clue that in later on. Let's get the mystery a little bit longer, shall we? So, how are you guys doing? It's been quite the week.
I was going to say, when today started, like, wow, it was a big day for games. A lot of games came out today. And, you know, we could talk about that.
We could. I mean,
today is March 25th, 2014. Since this is not going to come out on the day we record it, I think it's important to mention the date.
Yes. Okay. So what came out today?
Well, we had a few games. You know, I'll just blast through them. A lot. Blaze Blue, Dynasty Warriors 8.
okay.
There's a lot that came out. This Conception 2. No, Deception 4. That's a game on Vita. Some bullshit game named Fez. That's all. Clash in the Clouds Part 2 is now out. I haven't had a chance with that. It's sitting ready to go, and I haven't had a chance with it.
Mm-hmm. Clash in the Clouds or Burial at Sea?
Burial at Sea. Did I say Clash in the Clouds Part 2? No, Burial at Sea Part 2.
Okay, because I was like, wow, they released 2 DLC today? That's pretty cool.
That would be... No, they're officially done with Bioshock Infinite DLC. They have completed... You know, hasn't it been a year since that game came out?
Yes. Yeah. They're officially done with everything.
Mm-hmm. Including the company. Hey-o. Yeah, that company's gone. Sorry.
Yeah, that game is officially a year old.
Yeah.
Yeah, Irrational Games has now moved on to making indie titles. I'm looking forward to their first one, Feel Feelings, for the Ouya.
It almost sounds like a legit title, but...
Did anyone see that the Ouya was on sale today at Amazon?
Yes, I did see that.
For how much?
$70.
Still too much.
And you get $25 of game credit.
I still am curious about that thing, man. It's like if I didn't have a backlog as tall as I am, I would probably invest in that just for shits and giggles and see what it's like.
They had one amazing exclusive called Towerfall, and it is not an exclusive anymore.
Yeah,
that's it.
We get a better one called Towerfall Ascension.
That has more levels in a single-player mode.
I'll be honest with you, though. I was more interested in the emulator mm-hmm. stuff and to be able to play that on my TV.
Yeah.
It's funny how those emulators are in the top 10 or 20 top-selling apps.
Nice.
Tells you something.
Yeah, that does tell you something. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, a lot of games, like, also went on sale, like, today. It was like, I couldn't believe Thief is, like, 50% off.
So is Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. That 50% off sale is on Xbox and PlayStation. So PlayStation 4, Xbox One, both of those games, 50% off.
Wow.
Yeah, I bought Thief.
You did?
For $30!
Yeah, I bought Thief. Because I like Thief, I just couldn't finish it because Titanfall came out.
Yeah.
And $60 was too much to ask, probably, but $30? That's a budget title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good... I played a good 2 to 3 hours of that game, and that's I think it's really good price for $30. Yeah. That's a great price.
I agree. Completely.
If I didn't play Tomb Raider 1,000 times, I would have bought that too.
Oh, so we had a question earlier that we were talking about in chat.
Yeah.
What happens, because you previously installed Titanfall from a disc, and then when you went to buy it, all you had to do was just play it and you didn't need the disc anymore.
Go ahead.
I can now definitively answer the same question for PlayStation 4.
Okay.
You have to uninstall the disc-based game first and then reinstall from the download. There's no way to overwrite. Sorry.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't even overwrite. It just basically... See, that's one of the things about the residual from the way Microsoft was
going to do their system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you brought your disc over to someone's house, it would install the game. When you left, the game is still there. Mm-hmm.
So you could just pay to get it, and then you have it there, and you don't have to install it. So that's one of the cool things that was left over from that. Yeah, that sucks about the PS3. I just installed Rise while I was doing something. So
Let me know when you're done so you can uninstall it.
Wow.
You know, I can honestly say that if that game were free, I don't know if I would still play it because of the cost and time spent playing it. Mm.
How long is it? It is, okay,
nine like levels at five about hours? An hour each. I want to say 10 hours.
Hmm. Oh, wow. That's not bad, then. I thought it was going to be way shorter.
Nope, there's nine levels, and they're over an hour long each, as far as I can tell. And then there's a two-player multiplayer in Horde mode where you just fight, you know, people.
Mm-hmm.
That should be addicting, but it's not, because they have the system where you get gear, and you get better gear, and there's stats. But
I'm not going to bother with that. I have no interest in that.
Yeah. Well, 10 hours, and you are done, unless you want to play it again on a harder mode.
I rented it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll. That was the way to go.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Once I'm done with Infamous, I will play that.
So the paper trail missions, speaking of Infamous, have officially started.
I came across one. I just didn't do it yet.
No, because you can't finish everything yet. It's going to take 6 weeks.
Hmm.
I'm not going to have this game for 6 weeks.
Really?
Well, I rented it.
Okay.
That's what it is. I give them credit for what they're trying to do. I don't think there's ever been this kind of integration in a game before. But I don't know. You know, they're going to have statistics. They're going to be watching on how many people bother with this. Or they're going to go to the first mission. And that you won't be able to progress past a certain point until you do certain things on your computer. And then I think people are going to be like, I don't want to do this. We'll see.
It's probably going to
drop people, off. Some people will be into it and some won't. We'll see.
I mean, mostly, like, these ARGs and stuff, usually, like, they work when you have a very strong established lore or narrative that's happening in Infamous. And, you know, the characters are very personable. The character, you know, like, characterizations are great, and the motivation of main character is awesome. I just, you know, like, ARGs usually work for something with really strong established lore. Like, a good example is Halo. That has a
very... Or Mass Effect.
Mass Effect as well, and it's like... Infamous is just starting, you know? Like, it's like... I mean, technically, they've gone around, like, a couple of games prior to this, but it's like... You know, like, it's almost like for, like, a deep, epic science fiction adventure, maybe it works better, but this one is kind of like... It's a story of a dude who wants, you know, to be better at being a superhero kind of thing. It's like... I'm kind of curious as to how, like, those ARGs are actually kind of formulated and... The flow of, like, the gameplay, quote-unquote, for that.
Does anyone know what the first modern accepted ARG is? Does anyone know? This is trivia. I mean, I do know the answer, but...
Not really. I mean, I know there's one before I Love Bees, so...
Yes, that I Love Bees is probably the most successful one, and that was 2004, which, by the way, is officially 10 years ago, so you're old. But does anyone remember that movie, AI?
Yes. I remember that.
By a guy who kind of died, and then Spielberg picked it up and finished it.
Yeah, yes, of course.
I never finished it.
There was an ARG tie-in to that. I don't remember all of the details, but it's kind of fascinating. Modern ARGs, like, I went to a website that was for an ARG, and at the bottom it said, this website is for an alternate reality game for this product. I'm like, well, great job. Mm-hmm. I don't even care now.
Yeah.
And I've never looked at ARGs since. They actually, you know what was popular for ARGs? And when I say popular, I mean ARGs happened there, was PlayStation Home.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Because when you say popular and PlayStation Home in the same sentence, you do need to qualify that.
Yes, you do. Speaking of which, you did get The Secret World. You remember that? Like, I was at your place when you actually booted it up and started it.
Yeah.
That's actually a game that integrates ARGs with the actual gameplay of the main game. And it's funny because I think you mentioned it while we were having lunch on Saturday that you wanted more games that integrated well with ARGs and vice versa. The Secret World is actually a really good example of that.
It'd be good for them to advertise that a bit better, because honestly, I wasn't aware of that to a certain point.
Really? Yeah, because I mean, the only reason why I know this is because... one of the girls I'm seeing, she actually is, like, really into that game because of those elements. Because it really kind of breaks the fourth wall and kind of does that sort of thing. Granted, some of the gameplay is kind of, like, questionable. It's like, how far could you really get in an MMO without leveling up? Because it's one of those kinds of games. But, I mean, they're liking it, so I'm like, alright. You might want to give that a shot again.
It's in my Steam library somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or so. Maybe I never bought it on Steam, or maybe I did. Let's find out.
You did. I mean, you
No, I didn't
it.
Buy it through Steam. I bought it off Amazon.
Ah. Oh, right.
Nope, I don't have it in my Steam library, but I do own the game.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. So you can try it out.
I'll get on that.
Pretty sweet.
Once I get past every other game I play. Jesus.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you're about to have another free game. Did you hear that the April PlayStation Plus game has leaked for PlayStation 4? Mercenary Kings.
Nice.
So that's going to be free. So I feel like an idiot for buying that on Steam.
Oh, interesting.
It just left early access, I think today.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Do you really feel like an idiot, Ted? Because you kind of spend your money all wanting.
I did just rebuy Tomb Raider again, and then I traded in my disc copy towards Mario Kart.
Wow. That happened.
And you, Ted, out of any game that I want you to play, it's Tomb Raider. You have to finish that game. It is really fucking good.
Okay. Sean, rephrase that sentence. You need to start that game.
No, you said you started it.
See, when I deleted the installed game, I'm pretty sure I also deleted my save, unless the backup worked correctly. So maybe the backup did work correctly. Honestly, they're pretty good with the automatic backups. I'll give them that.
It should be pretty straightforward.
Although I am getting the BlazBlue Collector's Edition tomorrow, so I need to play through the last BlazBlue game, which came out, I don't know, 4 years ago through the story mode. So there's that.
Really? Why do you have to do it?
So I know what happened. God.
Just Wikipedia. Jesus Christ.
I already did.
There you go.
Years ago.
Yeah.
No, I still want to.
Jesus.
It's on the Vita.
You know the funny thing about this, and I'll just pop the... You know, pop the surprise right here. I got a PS4 last week. So, yes, I am a member of...
tell them how it happened, because this is going to be a great follow-up to the end of last week's podcast.
That's right.
It is right.
So I decided to trade in not just my 3DS, but also my Wii U and my PSP 3000 and the entire Mass Effect trilogy on the 360 binary.
Why'd you do that?
PS3, huh?
Because why'd you get rid of Mass Effect?
Because I have the Mass Effect trilogy on PS3.
Dang!
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it gives me yet another excuse to replay Mass Effect, by the way. So I just started that last week as well. And then, yeah, I traded it in for the PS4 because, you know, for every system that you basically trade in, you get 50% more credit. So the Wii U is $90, so they gave me like $45 more.
Wait, they give you only $90 for a Wii U base?
Yes, yes.
That is a system that is flying off the shelves.
Only $90?
Only
$90.
Yes. That is how much the Wii U is worth to GameStop. Go figure.
That's about how much it's worth to me.
You know, right?
But that's, jeez, it's a $300.
I would buy a Wii U for $100.
Eh.
You could have, you got $135 because you did the deal. So $135 it's still painful.
I know, just to have another, dude, I'm addicted to it now. Now I have four sitting here, tons of games to play. So what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, okay, so, I mean, there's that, and then I'm just kind of going through, like, all the listings of the trade-ins. The 3DS, the regular 3DS I have, is only it's $50, so I got $25 more for that. And then the PSP 3000 was $30, go figure, right? It's like, and I get, like, additional dollars for it.
I remember Target was selling some boxed PSP 3000s for, I think, $50 a little while ago. That's not exactly going for a lot. It could have been 60.
I mean, look, if I was really, like, intending on, like, trying to get a good value for these things, I'd obviously go for other places. But at that time, I was just like, all right, I want to get into the next gen right now because... Right, you know, I have the opportunity, and I'm looking at the entire slate of the Wii U right now, and there's nothing, and absolutely nothing, that is interesting me within the next 2 years. You know, and I'm saying 2 years because that's pretty much how Nintendo is working right now. It's like, oh, look, there's a new Mario Kart. There's a new Smash Brothers. And there's a new Zelda. Okay, whatever.
They have lost you, if that's the case. If they can't get you with Smash Brothers, which is a giant franchise, Mario Kart, giant franchise, and Zelda, which is basically untouchable as game criticism goes. Mm-hmm. And they can't get you with Mario games, Zelda games. They can't get you with everything they've ever done. They have truly failed.
Yeah, I mean...
The funny thing is that all of the things you just listed, that all happened to me back when the PlayStation came out. Mm-hmm. Like, and the N64. Like, none of that was interesting enough for me to buy an N64. I wound up renting an N64 just so I could play Ocarina of Time.
See, that's the funny thing, Sean, is like, this is exactly how I feel about the Wii U. It is the new Nintendo 64. Because, I mean, okay, going back to console generations, the Wii, they didn't have the best third-party support, but they still had those really notable exclusives, right? I mean, No More Heroes 1 and 2 was actually a really fantastic game. They had Mad World, great title. They had, like, the Silent Hill game, Shattered Dreams or whatever the hell. That's Goldust's fucking thing.
Shattered Dimensions.
That's his finishing.
Yeah, I know.
That's his finishing move.
Yeah, I know. But, there's a bunch of really good and, kind of creative stuff on the Wii. And then if you go back even further in the GameCube, I mean, they had the best version of Resident Evil 4. I mean, at the time, compared that to the PS2 version with no post-processing and shader effects whatsoever, that one, looked fantastic. Going into Wii U era right now, there is nothing. We're not even, the platform's not even going to see, a brand new Assassin's Creed. And Ubisoft is, one of their biggest supporters. Says a lot.
We don't know that for sure, only because, the rest of the world, Ubisoft might consider the Wii U a last-gen console, so they might get the one that they're making for 360 mm-hmm. and PS3, because they're making a different, totally separate Assassin's Creed title.
Right. But if you consider, the support, the third-party support that the Wii U is getting, pretty much Sega's pretty much the only one that said, by the way, we have a new Sonic game coming out. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've been through this. I mean, you can go back a couple, five or six, maybe seven episodes, and here we've already had this conversation.
Yeah.
Wii U is fucked. They're not. I don't see any way they're going to get unfucked. I know that I seem like the doom and gloom Nintendo guy, mm-hmm. but that's only because my eyes are open.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you know what I mean? Like if I went outside and it was raining, I wouldn't have to be a fucking meteorologist to say, hey, it's fucking raining. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's
like, you can look at the situation and see what the problem is.
It's just that they've never fucked up this bad before. And I've owned every single Nintendo console up until now. And the only other time that I've seen them fuck up this much was the Nintendo 64. That's fucking bad.
The Nintendo 64 wasn't a complete failure, though, compared to the Wii U. The Nintendo 64 did okay throughout its entire life. Well, the Wii U is already, I think, below that level.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, if you look at the... If maybe Nintendo was, thinking that, oh, we can kind of get by. I mean, after all, the Nintendo 64, we were okay. But, there's many different factors that have happened that are different now from, from, when they were still existing back in the N64. It's just a different era. It's an era where... there's now Microsoft and Sony that exists, I mean, granted, it's the same kind of triad scenario as the 90s, but production costs for video games have risen quite tremendously. And, if I remember correctly, one of the things that they were caught saying, which is why Zelda is so delayed now, is because, oh, we didn't know it was actually going to take us this long to create higher resolution textures and all producing games. And I'm like, wow, how naive can you be in terms of game development? Holy fuck.
Hello and welcome to 2004.
That's what I'm saying. They released a fucking standard def console when everybody else was releasing consoles with HDMI ports.
Mm-hmm. Nintendo released a system where the big deal was that there was a second screen.
Oh, God.
Sony and Microsoft released a console where, you can argue with this, but I'm just trying to make a point, where the big deal is you can broadcast your gameplay. It's two different levels of innovation and trying to figure out what the consumer wants.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we now know that Microsoft and Sony were pretty much on the ball when it comes to that sort of thing.
the fact of the matter is that Nintendo is still a very Japanese-oriented company, and game development, the center of it shifted away from Japan some time ago.
Sean, you were going to say something?
That's all part of it. And like to add to what you're saying, Ted, it's not just the broadcasting, but where that comes from. It's the internet. You know what I mean? Like Sony and Microsoft are embracing internet and social experiences and stuff like that, that Nintendo still can't wrap their head around. It's not just about the graphics power or the hard drive space. Their internet infrastructure sucks. You know what I mean? Like, they're not prepared for massive multiplayer games or multiplayer experiences on a level of like Titanfall. You could never, ever viably release a multiplayer only, online only game on a Nintendo system at currently. Mm-hmm. If they change in the future, fine.
Ironically, but I'm saying, like, that's what they did a few weeks ago.
What they release?
Steel Diver Subwars for the 3DS. It's a free-to-play, online-only multiplayer shooter.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point that out because, you know...
You know what I mean? I'm talking about the scale of, like, Titanfall.
Oh,
like,
I agree. It's not a big-budget title. It's a free-to-play title that's $10 to unlock everything. It's a game that you probably never heard of because they only talked about it in a Nintendo Direct. And that's it.
You know what I mean? Like Sony and Microsoft could get away with... I mean, look at Ubisoft. Ubisoft is going squarely into an online space with The Division and The Crew. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised at some point Assassin's Creed winds up going that route. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, where there's always going to be an online feature. And that's fine that that's Nintendo's niche. That's what they don't want to do. But clearly the mass market is going that way. I mean, the Wii U sold 100 million units, mm-hmm. but the Xbox 360 and the PS3 to combine sold 160.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're the gamers that are coming along for the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel like I can't speculate. I can't keep doing the armchair quarterback on what Nintendo's doing wrong or what they could do to thing. The reality is, let's look at the situation that got us into this conversation. Alex traded in his Wii U. He mm-hmm. saw no more value in it. He wanted a PS4. He got rid of the Wii U so we could get a PS4. Mm-hmm. That's the end of the discussion.
Yeah. And to be honest, like the only reason why I traded my 3DS, and this is a secret between all three of us and everybody who's listening.
It's broken.
The analog dub is broken.
You tricked
Dang!
Them.
Dang!
Yep. So I'm getting the 3DS XL instead.
The 3DS XL, you know, they got a lot of good stuff on 3DS. Bravely Default keeps coming to mind over and over, and they're getting Smash Brothers, and it's basically the same game.
Yeah, it's funny because we talked about this on Saturday when we hung out and stuff, and, you know, Chris actually, you know, we were hanging out with Chris last Saturday, and he was like, why doesn't Nintendo just abandon the Wii U? And I'm like, because if they only sold 3DS and 3DS XLs, they wouldn't be able to sustain their company, because the 3DS doesn't sell enough to sustain Nintendo's current, you know, hierarchical infrastructure in terms of, you know, employment, I guess. Which sucks, if you think about
it. Well, I mean, the 3DS kind of didn't it have, like, a bad couple of months recently?
I don't think it necessarily did. I mean, if anything, like, it still sold a lot more than the Vita, which, you know, that's just kind of naturally the way that it is.
That makes me mad.
But, you know, it's also that there's not a lot of developer and publisher confidence on the Vita, which kind of sucks. But it's been kind of like that way for about, like, what, like two or three generations, like two generations now. But, you know, it'll catch up, especially with, you know, the PS4 and the Vita integration. But going back to the whole start of this thing, you know, the games that I picked up, I did, you know, like, redeem my voucher for AC4. So I have that now on PS4. I did trade in my Tomb Raider, so I got Definitive Edition, which, by the way, Sean will probably be happy about this. I'm almost done with the game.
So good!
I started last Thursday, and I'm like, fuck this. And I even got, like, Infamous Second Son, right? I'm like, Infamous, Tomb Raider, all right. I'm almost done with the game, like, as of today.
It's so good.
It is. It's really good. And even a year from, you know, when we first played it, it's just amazing. It still
I had no problem playing that game again when it came out on PS4 twice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so good.
Yeah, and it's in a way, too, it's even on a better controller, you know? So it's like, ooh, this feels great. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much really it. I mean, I set up the whole, you know, name thing and, you know, whatever. I'm a proud owner of a PS4, so I,
good.
You know. Although, you know, I've found myself to be going back to my PS3 because I'm still playing through South Park, which is still good. But I need to finish that game. So, Sean, other than Titanfall,
actually, I have not played Titanfall since Wednesday because I had to work Thursday. Something came up, and then Friday I got Infamous Second Son.
Yeah.
And I know you're saying that you're not really into the gameplay, but I really do think you should give it more time than where you are. You're very very early in that game, and the powers really do open up that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's by design. Like, it's supposed to make you feel more powerful mm-hmm. with the more powers you get. And that game, first of all, I mean, let's state the obvious, fucking gorgeous game.
Yeah, it is.
That is a beautiful game. That is a showpiece for next-gen consoles.
Oh, yeah, the volumetric smoke and everything is fucking just... I was just, you know, it's funny that the first power they gave you is smoke, and I'm like,
yeah,
oh, come on.
Yeah, of course, particle effects.
Yeah, oh, come on, you're just showing off right now. But I do like, and you know, I'm not necessarily knocking on the game. I mean, you know, if and this is going to sound ridiculous, because, of course, like, I haven't played through the game, but I personally feel like, you know, I have a sense when I do play some games, like, what their score would be if I did rate them. This is looking... I don't know if you would agree with this, because you're a lot further, but this is looking more towards, like, an 8 kind of game for me, personally.
I won't disagree with that, but it's... But here... I mean, if I can elaborate...
Yeah.
The two problems I have with this game
mm-hmm.
are... There's a big city... And I'm 56% through the game, and I don't know if that's because I've been, like, closing out every district, mm-hmm. like, getting it 0% occupation.
Yeah.
But that's it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, for an open world game, it has the most visually striking city, but not much going on in terms of the AI. Like, Grand Theft Auto is, like, a cornucopia of, like, everything to do in a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have shit that can distract you all the time. And I feel like that is the one thing about Infamous that has always bugged me. They have this open world playground,
mm-hmm.
but very little things to do in it. Like, there's stuff to do. Like, I enjoy doing the spray paint, the graffiti side missions,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then, but then, like, you know, to clear out a district, you have to blow up a couple of towers, you have mm-hmm. to destroy their, whatever that machine is that they have, where you have to, like, lift it up with this, swipe it up with the touchpad and then smash it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just those things are just repetitive. Like, I have a very high tolerance for repetitive mission structured type of gameplay because mm-hmm. my goal is always to get it to 100%.
Right.
So that doesn't really bother me, but I can see where that would bother you. So if you were to stick with just the story, mm-hmm. the story missions have variety. The story missions are varied and fun, mm-hmm. and they get crazy. I mean, this game gets crazy in, like, a you did not see this coming.
Yeah.
I mean, they've kept a very good job of keeping things hidden from mm-hmm. readers that I was like, is that what I think that is? That is what it is. You know, it's, like, pretty awesome.
Right.
But in terms of, like, the actual core mechanics for Delson and his powers and stuff, it's awesome. It's beautifully realized. The character work is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
The gameplay is really fun when you get those powers, and you can mm-hmm. use your powers in very strategic ways. Like you know, smoke, you can jump up a vent and come out the top. And when you get more powers, you're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
You can heal when you jump. Like, so you're if you're getting shot, you find a vent, you shoot up that vent, and you're back to 100%, you can come back down. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of fun stuff to do in that regard to the game, but not much on the periphery. And if you're going to have an open world game at this point, especially at this point, I mean, we've had Red Dead, we've had all the Assassin's Creeds, we've had Grand Theft Auto 5, Grand Theft Auto 4, just Saints Row, you know, just tons of games where just so much shit coming at you from all angles that I feel like this is Sucker Punch resetting the genre. Just not resetting the genre, but resetting it for them so that they can expand and extrapolate off of these systems that they have for the next game, which I totally will. I'm on board for. But if I'm not done with my game with the game yet, so I can't give it a final score. It could totally take a sea change. It wouldn't be the first time. Yeah. But as of right now, I would definitely say it's 8 to low mid 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good, but not quite
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean I'm obviously being very fair about this game because I know that, you know, because of my kind of aversion to the infamous kind of gameplay. Like I was okay with it the first time around and thought that okay, maybe they'll tighten it up for part 2. Not so much. Maybe they'll tighten it up in Second Son. But, you know...
No, they just, do, though.
It's just a personal... At this point, it's a personal preference. They did nail many, many things, though, in terms of storytelling. I mean, this Delson is a far more personable character than Cole McGrath
way better
ever would have hoped to be. I mean...
Cole was a wet blanket.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I can't... You know, like, it's funny. It's totally night and day, their characterizations. And your motivation to go through the entire game is so fucking powerful. You're like, at the end of that introduction scene, you're like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to fucking do this. Fuck all those.
And, like you were saying, like, all those problems you have, like, traversal, especially in the Infamous games, always felt clunky, like, too sticky, not enough, like, freedom to do it. I'm telling you, man. It's all different in this game. It's like if you have to climb up a building without a power, you will notice it's more or less the same, but a little better and a little easier to control. Yeah. More or less the same, but those powers just change.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the neon power up and stuff, and it's just to me like those are the kinds of options that was available to me from the get go. In you know when you got into Saints Row 4, and that was the most recent superhero game that I played, You want to talk about, like, you know, variety and stuff? Like, they allowed you for so much variety. I mean, they had the stupid races. Doesn't make sense in the world of Infamous. But, you know, it's part of that whole part, you know, notion of, like, okay, it's an open-world superhero game. Let's do some fucking open-world superhero shit that, you know, would actually be beneficial. Because I think my mistake was that after I basically destroyed the first mobile, you know, like, kind of base, is that I didn't go to the next... you know, like, main objective, and I just started wanting to, like, 100% each of the districts.
Maybe, no, don't do that.
Yeah, that was, like, that's a big OCD of mine, because I'm like, come on.
Mine too.
Only 46%, and now I'm like, fuck, this is bullshit, you know? Like, now I'm like, that's kind of, like, what turned me off of it, I think.
And I think that's a mistake. Like, I honestly think that's a mistake, and I can see where it would be a mistake, because you have so little powers at that point, that you're making the game not fun for you, Alex. You're doing it on purpose.
But the thing
I'm serious. You need to get more powers and then do that.
But the thing is, though, in other games that I've played, that even, you know, even that are, like, you know, open world, you know, games in general, I could, you know, potentially 100% an area and kind of clear it off. Like Saints Row, I was able to do that.
True, but Saints Row is not a story-focused game. They're really trying to tell a story.
Or even in Assassin's Creed 4, which it is a story-based game as well, but... You know, like, being able to complete the, you know, like, the island that I'm in or city I'm in, it's still very kind of satisfying, you know, but I don't know. It's odd to think that, by the way, you're playing it wrong because you're trying 100% a district, you know?
Well, no, I don't think you're playing it wrong because you're trying 100% a district.
No, I totally
agree with you.
I'm not trying to say that you're, you know, that's what you're implying, but to me, that's kind of like how I feel with this game and stuff. It's like, in order to really appreciate it, you have to look for it in a very particular way and just kind of almost It's almost as if the game is trying to tell me just blow through the whole story and then come back and do all that shit.
If I were to sit there and say what I feel like the problem is in the first hour or so of the game, is that as soon as you get across that bridge and you get that first story mission, then go nuts. And it's like, no, you didn't give me enough tools to go nuts. Keep funneling me a little bit more just to kind of weave me through to the first three or four like story beats and then open up the world. Once I have more tools at my disposal, once you give me more things, and it would be like this thing. But it's like they also did render a beautiful city. So it's like go nuts, but you can't go nuts. It's this weird.
Yeah.
I don't have enough, you know? So I mean, I could totally see where, but I really do think you're making the game not fun for yourself. And I do think that if you just kind of stay to the critical path for just a little while longer,
okay,
you'll enjoy the game more.
All right, I'll give it a shot. I mean, obviously, I bought it, so I'm not gonna like be like, "Mah, okay."
Yeah, yeah. But you'll enjoy that game, I think. Once you get, once you open it up, I know you and I have pretty similar taste overall.
Yeah.
And I think you know, and I don't think you. I'm not saying you're gonna think it's better than an 8. But I still think an 8 is totally worth playing.
No, I totally agree. I mean, you know, like I said, like 8 doesn't mean it's fucking terrible. I mean, you know, a terrible game for me would be like a 4 or 5 in my scale. But 8 is a very respectable, you know, kind of game and stuff. And I would still, you know, it would still be something like, yeah, you should try it. Because this is, you know, not necessarily genre defining, but it's definitely like people are going to look at it and be like, hey, we can take some ideas from this because these are pretty fucking cool ideas. So,
yeah.
You know, but Persona 4, how is that?
I'm in a strip club with a bunch of teenagers. How's that work?
No way. This game is rated T for teen.
I am running around a strip club with a bunch of teenagers, high school kids.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think I'm on floor 10 of the strip club. It's a very tall strip club.
It is a very tall strip club. Holy crap. I can only imagine. Yeah, things are going to start getting interesting because Rise, which, you know, who you're rescuing, this is where the story even gets more interesting. I mean, it's already interesting now where it is, but it's like, I think it's like, what, October now in the game or September?
I'm not even sure.
Yeah, but it's somewhere around there, and the game starts getting a lot juicier. And this is where they're going to be like, all right, we just gave you all the characters. Let's, you know.
She's the last character?
I have to remember. I can't really remember.
I hate when games do this, especially when they're like, here, we're going to introduce you, and you're going to spend about 15 or 16 hours with this character. Now you have to choose.
To choose
who you want to hang out with.
Choose you.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I now have Kanji, and now I'm going to have Rise, but I've already spent a ton of time with Yosuke, Yukiko, and Chie. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, I don't want to choose. Why can't I have everybody in my party together?
Because there's not enough time. Well, I mean, to be honest, like, you know, that's why I go back to those dungeons again. And to kind of just power up the rest of my crew and stuff, you know, because it is kind of like, you know, because I have my set group, right, going into the dungeon first time around. And then once I beat the boss there, I actually go back to the dungeon and stuff and try it again, you know, but with a different set of people and a different set of personas and stuff to level up. So that usually works out pretty well for me. So and usually you get like some, you know, pretty awesome items for the characters who used to inhabit, you know, that particular level. So, but glad that you're still playing through it. You're almost there. You're about probably a little bit over. No, can't be a little bit over. About half, almost halfway through it.
Really? And I'm only got like 22 hours in it.
Oh, there's more than that. There's more than that. Because this is extended, so there are some other things that happen too. So it'll just feel like it's halfway. You know, I guess that's the most accurate part of it. Anything else before we move on to Ted?
Nope. I got the Avenger controller thing. I just got it today. So, and the funny thing is, I was like, oh, give it to me on 360 because it's just kind of like my go-to platform because they didn't have the PS4 and Xbox One versions are still in prototype. Mm-hmm. And I realized, shit, I don't have any first-person shooters to play except Halo on my fucking
360.
On my 360.
Oh, shit.
That really sucks. and I have tons on my PS3.
God damn it. Well, maybe like next week or something like that, we'll get your impressions on it or something.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm going to review it. I told them I would review it.
Okay. Oh, well, of course. So, Ted, what have you been playing?
Let's see. Sheesh. You know, how are we 40 minutes into the show and we're still covering what we played? Wow.
Well, we had, like, you know, tangents and conversations and, you know, me getting a PS4 is kind of a big deal.
I feel like we're
going to
talk about the best items to order at Tico's Tacos.
I've never been to Tito's Tacos, so I
there is
know.
An old podcast called Wrestle Crap Radio, and they once spent an hour talking about taco flavored Doritos.
Yeah, they
that
still
sounds
have
like
those.
My kind of podcast.
Yeah, they still have those at Taco Bell.
No, they make taco flavored Doritos.
Oh yeah, you're
in
right.
Stores.
And
let's
also,
see.
Yeah,
if I were to pick up my I pick up my Vita. I am currently playing Blaze Blue. Oh, the system update's already downloaded. Yeah, I'm very happy with the Vita firmware update. Fixes problems that people like me have.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have been playing a lot of Luftrausers still, because that game is frustrating enough that you want to stop playing it, but accommodating enough that you keep playing it.
Mm-hmm.
I booted up my Wii U to play Resident Evil because there was an 18-year Resident Evil anniversary, and they're giving out high-level weapons for free.
Wow.
And I looked at my Vita, and I see I have Unit 13 from last week's PlayStation Plus update.
Okay.
And I accept that it's a game that I could play, but I won't.
Mm-hmm.
This week's free game on the Vita is Monster Hunter Freedom Unite, and it's the first time I regret, it's the first negative thing I have towards PlayStation Plus. I don't think that's a game that should come back.
Hmm.
It's too old, and it gives people negative impressions of the franchise. They've actually made a bunch of changes since then.
Right.
I booted up Killzone Mercenary on Vita,
yeah.
And the new maps are nice, you know. Well, they're not new, they're months old, but it's, you know, they are done supporting that game, but can't argue with two free maps.
Right, right.
There's going to be a patch for it to support the Vita TV.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of touchscreen-only stuff, and they're going to dump that. So, did you hear that the Vita TV is not going to come out in America at all?
Really?
Really?
Nope. It is not coming out at all.
Why?
Because it's got about the same amount of traction in Japan that the PSP Go did.
That sucks. I think that would sell well here.
That's kind of a poor, like, comparison, because, like, I mean...
Let me put it this way. It's selling like crap.
Just reflash the firmware so that it'll be, like, working for the US then. Holy crap.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Lame, I tell you. Lame.
That was a great device to be put in my bedroom and I could play my PS4 mm-hmm. on my TV. That sucks.
Yeah.
I was playing some Titanfall now. Sean, I got to ask you. People do not talk in on the Xbox One much. Do you agree? You don't hear a lot of talking.
When I play solo matches, that is correct. I don't hear any. But when I usually play with a party, so I
which
have
is what
of...
I think everyone's doing.
Yeah.
Everyone's in party chat. Nobody's talking.
Yeah.
But I was playing, and I heard the mythical 11-year-old boy.
The mythical 11-year-old boy.
Yeah, I muted the shit out of him. He was so annoying.
Wow.
And he wasn't very good, either.
Mm.
It's like, you know, don't you know this game is Titanfall M or T? I have a feeling it's actually T.
I think it's T. Let me go check.
Titanfall is M as fuck.
Really?
How is it
yeah,
M?
You and...
Yes, you're shooting dudes with guns, but for some reason that's not as bad as saying the F word.
No, I have video of me making pilots explode.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
With
if they
missiles.
If you gib them.
And they turn into a bloody pile of
gib them.
Chunk.
Okay, that's an M.
Okay, yeah, I just checked. It's an M.
What else have I been playing? Oh, yeah, God. You know, I only talked about a few of the games that came out today. There's also a bunch of DLC besides Bioshock. There's a new character for Dead or Alive.
Mm-hmm.
So she's out.
Yes.
Look, I gotta tell you, it sounds like you're a lot more interested in the conversation you had with Sean and Infamous than you had with all this other stuff that I care about. I mean, do we want to turn this into the Hatsune Miku podcast?
Ted, you have just as much of a way to talk about things.
Well,
you know,
it's just,
go ahead.
Alex is like, yeah. Alex is like that goat on YouTube where he goes, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, you know, I almost feel like you're like some sort of like taste tester where you kind of just play a little bit of each game and you don't really kind of dwell on one particular one like for a long period
of time.
Yeah,
I'm jumping all over the place. However, something interesting happened. So do you remember at E3 when I went up to Aaron Weber and I said, you're absolutely batshit insane for trying to bring out Hatsune Miku in America in a physical copy?
Mm-hmm.
So you might have also heard that more recently they released Hatsune Miku on Vita digitally in America,
yes.
But it's cross-buy with DLC. It's not a cross-buy full game, but the DLC's cross-buy.
Mm-hmm.
The sequel to that game came out in Japan this week.
Okay.
And this morning, out of the blue, this same guy who I called crazy said the game sold so well that they're releasing the sequel this fall in America, physical copies and digital. That's also physical on Vita. It's going to get a physical release on Vita. So,
well, okay. To that point, there's a reason. Okay, there's a reason why we're getting Persona 4 Dance in the United States. We wouldn't be getting that game if Hatsune Miku did not sell.
We're getting. Speaking of untimely and confusing rhythm games, Rhythm of Fighters is happening.
Oh, no. Yeah, I saw that.
King of Fighters, the rhythm game. See, Persona 4 Dancing All Night, the Persona franchise can be wacky enough. I mean, the fighting game actually makes sense. The rhythm game, they can justify. That weird Persona Q game for the 3DS. I mean,
okay.
You build franchises that, I mean... Sean.
Yes.
Would you buy the upcoming Persona rhythm game?
No.
I mean, all these
I would
are
download
fan
it
service.
For free if they gave it to PS Plus, but I would not pay money for that.
I mean, I could actually see that service. Happening years down the road.
Yeah. All this is fan service. I mean, you know, Persona Q, whatever the hell it is, made by the Etrian Odyssey guys, right? And then you have, like, Persona Dancing All Night, made by the Hatsune Miku guys. And then you have, you know, Persona 4, you know, Ultimax, made by, of course, the Guilty Gear and Persona 4 Arena guys. Like, this is all fan service so that they can buy some time and get some money so that they can actually fucking finish Persona 5 for next year.
But look at what they're doing. They're farming it out to people that are better at the genres. Like, okay, they got Arc System Works, who are pretty much the kings of the anime video game genre. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that they also made the game version of Fist of the North Star. So
yes, they did.
That was a great cartoon.
Yes.
You know, Fist of the North Star was a nice anime reflective of its time when anime wasn't all about moe moe kyun.
Because yes.
Anime is very samey these days. And in the 80s, mm-hmm. I think it was pretty fucking badass.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Yeah, dude.
But you know, a lot of the products we see, you know, Crunchyroll gets all this anime and airs it the same day it airs in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be a pipe dream for a 15, 20 years ago. And everything sucks because it's all the same. I guess what I'm trying to say is franchises to be relevant have to not be samey. And
yes.
I think that's what's good about Persona. There's so many places you can go with it. It doesn't feel samey.
Yeah. And it still works. I mean, there are fans that buy it, which is great, you know?
Of course, there was also Persona anime. I don't know how that was.
I will definitely be I'm a Persona fan now. I will buy Persona 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on board.
But I mean, do you care about the Persona fighting game or this Persona 3DS? You don't even have a 3DS, so screw that. Persona fighting game or the what else? There's a lot of Persona games. My God, I wonder if you would like to.
It's my thing. Here's like I know everybody's into that stuff, but my kind of thing is like I don't like expanded universe type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in genres that I'm not really mm-hmm. one to play.
Yeah.
Like I don't really play fighting games. I don't play rhythm games. and it's not, it's, it might be canon, but it's not main stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like I didn't play ODST. I didn't play Halo Reach. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of ancillary, fill up the gap with this brand name thing that right. I don't, no disrespect to anybody who likes that stuff. I'm sure they're really well designed games for what they are. Mm-hmm. It just, that's just not what I'm into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that totally makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's kind of like the way that I treated Persona 4 Arena too. And to be quite honest, like the story stuff in Persona 4 Arena, you can just YouTube that shit because, you know, it's just text and a lot of voice acting and it's just, you know, it's tedious to go through like the story mode of Persona 4 Arena. I mean, it's 40 hours, but not all those 40 hours are all gameplay. It's just mostly like cutscenes and reading and all that shit. So not fun in that sense. So anything else before we move on, Ted? We got like 10 minutes, but I will get through all these. Trust me.
Boy, a lot of games came out today. I haven't even begun to play anything yet today, and I'm going to have a review of Barry Lit C Episode 2. But, you know, I'm thinking about how I'm going to review that game, and I go to a problem that Sean has, is how do you avoid it? How do you do it without spoilers? Because, you know, when they said in Episode 2 you would play as Elizabeth, okay. You know, we didn't understand a lot about the context. Were you saying okay?
Okay, look. You know, I'm just saying, the only reason I'm saying look is because it's part two of a two-part DLC. Chances are, people who are thinking of buying part two are probably the ones who have already invested in one. So you're
I still think
that.
You need to be safe because there's some people like myself who, I mean, I'm not going to read the review. I'm just going to read Ted's score and maybe the closing paragraph.
Yeah.
Which is usually what I do with reviews anyway when I haven't played the game. Mm-hmm. But there might be people who want to know if it's worth getting the first one. Because if this is the payoff, it has to pay off. You know what I mean? So I can understand. But I do not envy Ted's conundrum because I have been in it several times and I will probably be in it
like
6 more times.
Yeah.
Can you even say what happens in it? Like, okay, so you play as Elizabeth, and I guess I can say they're in Rapture since that's been publicly revealed from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But can I say anything else? I know there's some things that happen. Can I talk about them? You know, I can't even say things like, I don't think I can even hint at it and it not be a spoiler. We're very spoiler sensitive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can always use the tag says spoiler, you know, may contain spoilers.
But we don't do that for reviews. I don't know. Maybe I'll be the first. I'm going to have to talk about it.
We have
existential crises here on Gamer Horizon After Hours podcast.
We do have one review that has a spoiler tag on it, though. So at least one.
Is it Don't Shit Your Pants?
I don't think
so. All right,
so.
You know what? I really want to dive into the news. So I also played, I don't know, Rayplay. I don't know. That's not funny. That's not funny. I apologize.
To me it is. Anyways, news. Facebook acquires Oculus VR. Go.
This is nuts. This is nuts. So we've all tried the Oculus VR. We tried it at E3. It was pretty cool, I guess. I think the tech demos were pretty limited because I think we wanted more visceral experiences and we got go around in the stars and maybe feel feelings. But the potential
I got to fucking space hijack cows.
I think the potential is definitely there. So, yeah, they are no longer an independent company. This is problematic for one very, very specific reason. And that's Kickstarter.
That's true, because they were kickstarted.
If we kickstart companies that then get more funding from other companies, are we just like the initial venture capital? I mean, does it mean anything?
This is not an investment, though. This is a donation. That's what you're doing in Kickstarter.
You know what? It says that because that's for legal purposes. And I was hoping that it would never have to be interpreted literally, but I guess I was wrong.
Yep.
So here we are now. And this is not going to be the exception to the rule down the road. I want you, the listener, for homework to look at all of the popular Kickstarters that have failed. or some of the moderately popular Kickstarters that have failed, not because the creator got in over his head, or this one wacky guy who was doing something with art and said, you see, now your money belongs to me. It is the capitalist way of things. It is the thing that you believe in. He basically went off the deep end to justify stealing people's money. But because it's a donation, they're screwed. This is why I'm very conservative with Kickstarters and Indiegogo projects. I tend to only give to people that I know, that I've met in real life, or I have a very strong belief in their track record.
Right.
So Oculus Rift was a great idea. So one thing that's on the other side is one of the executives is actually answering questions on Reddit. And what he's saying is, the upshot is Facebook is not trying to dominate us. They just want to invest in us and possibly get money back on their investment and pie in the sky, have a new platform to put product on. So he is taking the optimistic view. He's taking the optimistic view. I think someone who could be taking the more pessimistic view was Notch, who said, by the way, there was a Minecraft version in development for the Oculus Rift, and it is now canceled.
Saw that.
There's also been some Twitter chat. I think the person who killed it was Shuhei Yoshida,
mm-hmm.
who killed it on the internet when he said, I'm excited for the Xperia X2. Anything else happen on the internet today?
Jesus. Yeah.
So good.
So, Sean, what are your thoughts on this?
You know what? Honestly, like, I'm usually the pessimistic guy, so I'm gonna surprise you by saying that I think this is awesome for two reasons. One, and number one, it lends credibility to VR that wasn't there last week.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Sony announcing their headset, it's still an electronics company announcing a new product that might or might not, you know, ever see the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
With this huge, huge news, now everyone knows what virtual reality is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is a thing that now, it was something pushed off in the corner of either, like, it was, like, main thing on game site or pushed off in the corner of, like, the Wall Street Journal. This is headline news on every major publication. Mm-hmm. I can already see in my head newscasters trying to say some funny pun on virtual reality and Facebook, you know what I mean? But, like, this is going to get major exposure for VR that was never there and mm-hmm. would not have been there. And I think if done right, this is going to take this from being a niche market to a hot item. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome. And in a continuation of that, now Sony's VR is all eyes are on Sony's VR because it's still perceived as for the gamer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Facebook takes this mainstream kind of something that we all use, but we do it begrudgingly kind of thing. Like, so that, you know what I mean? Like, Facebook just has, like, this, like, pop culture saturation, like, mainstream idea that, you know, Sony having, you know, for gamers, it's kind of a turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like Sony has VR, so that's going to be where people want to go. So it could wind up turning Sony's VR into a bigger success than it would have been also for gamers, because that's going to be where they want to go with it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I only see this as good news. A lot of PC gamers are like, oh my god, this is the end of the world! And I'm like, no, actually. This is actually a really good thing, because now they actually have the funds and, you know, maybe hopefully speed up their development so that we can actually get the Oculus Rift a lot sooner than I don't know what their estimations are. You know? Because they need to be able to create development kits so that a lot of people can actually play around with it and shit like that. And they won't be able to do that with just Kickstarter funding, you know?
Yeah.
You need mm-hmm. some sort of, like, you know, like, angel investment in order to be like, all right, you know, we gotta, you know, like, this gives them quite an unprecedented amount of freedom. $2 billion is nothing to scoff at.
I don't know if you know this, just a little aside, that Peter Molyneux was saying something about indie development and how it's not going to really last that long. because there's always going to be some big company coming and buying up the indie, and then this happened the same day.
That's pretty incredible. That is pretty incredible. But anyways, do we have time to blow through some of these?
Yeah, we can go. We got a couple more. I can go a little longer today.
Okay, cool. this next item. Oh, PC gamers, the new NVIDIA card is $3,000.
You know, I think that's just a vanity item. You know, they released the Titan at 1,000 and a few people bought it, but it was just a flagship item to cover some of the things they would be doing down the road with the chipset. This is just that taken to an even crazier conclusion.
What do you know what the specs of this thing are, Ted?
Yeah, 12 gigs of RAM, 12 gigs of video RAM.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember the other things, but 12 gigs of video RAM is more than many people have in their PCs.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm kind of curious because, I mean, you and I are kind of a little bit more on the techie side and stuff. Like, because we're seeing the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 having a unified kind of system memory. Like, do you think, like, this whole idea of having separate RAM for the video cards and the CPU, is that going to be like something on the wayside, or do you still think that there's life for something like that? And
they already tried to get rid of it with bad results in the last generation. Do you remember Skyrim on PlayStation 3 and it had issues?
Right.
And just quickly, the issues were basically caused by, since Skyrim, they need to save the state of everything.
Mm-hmm.
They were writing to the video RAM buffers the state of the game world, and that was a recipe for disaster.
Ooh, ouch.
But that is an example of a unified RAM. You do see more and more of that, and you also see less discrete use of resources. For example, GPUs are being used for things like video processing,
mm-hmm.
Things that aren't necessarily related to graphics. For example, physics processing. Do you remember the old idea of having a physics card in your computer? There was a company that was making it. PhysX was the name of the company, of course.
Yep, and then NVIDIA bought them.
NVIDIA bought them and incorporated the technology into their cards. Mm-hmm. And you can see this today, like Borderlands 2, turn on physics to medium, and it's like, that's the difference from consoles, is all mm-hmm. this crazy stuff that you don't even realize is there until you turn it on. Mm-hmm. But in order to do it, you need a separate GPU.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't, but if you want it to not blow, you should have a discrete GPU for physics. Although I think they've got, that was a couple years ago. I think maybe they figured that out.
Yeah.
I have an ATI card, so I don't have to deal with it because I don't have it.
Yep.
If I try to turn any physics features up to anything beyond none, I take a giant nosedive.
Mm-hmm.
It works, but it's like 5 frames a second.
Yeah. That's what happens.
And we're also seeing Battlefield 4 on the PC is using a new API called Mantle, which is an alternate... I don't want to call it an alternate graphics library because I don't understand it enough. Not that I don't, but I never paid attention to it because mm-hmm. I don't have Battlefield 4 on PC. But more and more games are going to be using this. It's just a more mm-hmm. direct line of code that just improves performance on ATI cards and ATI hardware. So I feel like what's going to happen is you know that the PlayStation 4 runs most games in 1080p natively and the Xbox One does not.
Mm-hmm.
Within a few years, this will not be the case. I almost guarantee you.
Okay.
It will be a natural evolution of developers just getting better at the hardware, especially when the hardware isn't a moving target.
Pretty much.
They'll just figure things out. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Okay. Guessing you have no opinion on this, Sean?
I have an opinion. It's crazy.
Okay.
Like, I mean, obviously, like Ted said, this I never looked at that price and go, that can't be a real, like, what they expect to sell that at. That's going to be like those first 4K TVs selling for $80,000.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man, like, I still feel like okay, so I can't do all the cool shit on a PC, but it's just too expensive, man. Yeah. It's just, for $1,000, I have two consoles. I can play, $850.
Mm-hmm.
I have two consoles, and I can play all the games I want to play. As far as I know, there's nothing that I want to play that's exclusive to PC.
Right. I mean, I don't want to turn this into a whole long, lengthy discussion for PC gaming and console gaming or what have you, but I'm always under the impression that PC gaming is thriving, except, you know, the games that are people are being played, I can sum it up to two games, which is League of Legends and World of Warcraft. I think that's pretty accurate. So,
League of Legends and World of Warcraft are both games that do not push any graphical limits at all.
Right. And that's kind of like where I'm getting at, is that, you know, if you're going to measure the health of the PC gaming industry based off of units sold, then you're kind of failing, because you're kind of ignoring the fact that there's still a lot of subscribers for MMOs, and there's still a lot of people who play, you know, League of Legends, which is, you know, it is the most played game on the PC, you know, so you can't, you know. But the bottom line is, I think that, you know, I guess where I'm getting at is that why the fuck would you need this new NVIDIA card if your game, if your current rig can run those games just as well, you know?
Oh, so. that's obvious. Because you need to play Crysis.
Yeah, of course. Totally related. Speaking of $850, you know, worth of home consoles, yeah, Xbox One keeps dropping and dropping and dropping.
It's like it's got a soft price drop.
Sean, yeah. I heard you got $50 back.
Well, 25 technically, but I what happened was I bought the Titanfall bundle like I talked about a couple weeks ago, and it was $475 because I had a 5% coupon. And then today I saw that when you put it says $499, but when you put it in the cart, it says now $449.99. So I called them and said, hey, I bought this 2 weeks ago. Can I get a refund? And they said yes.
Well, it's nice of them to do that. You don't see that a lot these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I worked retail for a very long time, and that was pretty standard. Like, if we sold an item and then it went on sale 2 weeks later, the customer could come back and get a price drop, a price adjustment, and that's what made me think to do it. I said, oh, what the hell? I wasn't pissed. I didn't feel like I was owed the $25. Mm-hmm. You know, I bought it when I did. I jumped when I did. I said, I'm going to give this a shot. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, they were super cool, really good customer service. Mm-hmm. And I got now basically, I mean, if you think about it, I got the Xbox One for cheaper than the PlayStation 4. Which
considering
you could say
Titanfall was a free game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, $60 game.
Yeah.
So, and the PlayStation's, the Xbox One was $390.
Mm-hmm. And I want to mention that while the deal is dead, for a brief time, the version of the Xbox One that comes with Forza was down to $399 on Amazon with the right coupon code.
God, it's
that's
crazy.
That's just
crazy.
Nuts.
Yeah.
A soft price drop around this time is strange because I thought the Titanfall bundle would go nuts.
Yeah.
When something goes nuts, you don't need to drop the price.
I'm gonna write something about this next week, but just to touch on it, and I feel like Microsoft made a big mistake agreeing to allow that game to be on the 360. Absolutely feel like it was a big mistake.
You know, it was supposed to be out today on 360 originally. That would have been neat to see. How is it we still haven't seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Just show it.
I'm
just
worried.
Show it.
Yeah.
Just show it. All right. Just show it.
I just feel like mm-hmm. I feel like that was a mistake because
just show it.
If you want this game to sell their console, their new console, and but you're basically giving people, you're competing against yourself because you're giving people a reason not to. That's the same thing. That's the whole purpose of an exclusive. You know what I mean? Is to be like, you can get this here and no one else, to make you decide, okay, I need to play that, so I'm going to get that. But now 360 owners who can't quite justify pulling the trigger are going to be like, I'll just get it on 360. Mm-hmm. So you're cannibalizing your own sales.
Yeah.
That's just my theory.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, It is a weird decision. I'm kind of like with Ted on this, though. I'm a little bit anxious to see Titanfall on 360, if only because I want to make the comparisons. You know, like how well it is or how shitty it is and stuff. I mean, I'm more interested if they're still able to capture the feel of the Xbox One version. And while I haven't played the Xbox One version, I am curious to see if Ted is actually going to double dip and buy the 360 version because he has a lot of disposable income.
No. Look, guys, come on. Come on. No.
Don't say come on, like it would be unheard
we
of.
We knew, yeah.
This would be unheard of. If you were to came to me and go, like, guys, I bought the 360 version of Titanfall, I'd be like, okay, what is it, Tuesday? Okay.
I know, right? I mean, come on, this is coming from a dude who basically sold his, like, this copy of Tomb Raider to get, like, to put towards Mario Kart,
Alex,
only to buy it again.
Alex, no, yes. I sold my copy of Tomb Raider after I bought the digital copy.
Okay. What does that make any difference? I mean...
Because Ted, I'm pretty sure. Oh, by the way, I might have mentioned this, but Ted, you can probably relate to this. I now have two copies of Kane and Lynch because I forgot that I bought it on around Christmas time for like $4.
And so you bought it again for like $4
on PS3.
Holy crap.
I actually, and I'm sure you guys... I'm laughing, but I swear to God, every time I go to buy a game that's several months old, I start to think, have I bought this already?
Oh my God, this is ridiculous. But yeah,
so no, I actually do disc to digital upgrades like that all the time. I actually did it with Infamous. I did it with Killzone. Not Infamous, Injustice. Did it with Killzone. Actually, the only disc based PlayStation 4 game I now own is Call of Duty.
Wow.
Because and the reason I bought it is Target had a great sale if you knew how to combine your coupons.
Mm. Yeah,
not as much as Sean got it for zero, but you know, whatever.
Right. That's why I won't sell it. I'm just like, I didn't pay anything for this, so I'm just gonna keep it. Even though I'm not gonna play it, I'll probably keep it.
Right. Okay. So let's start moving along. Assassin's Creed Unity current gen and Far Cry 4 current gen. So I love Paris. This new Assassin's Creed is good with me.
I really want them to do Feudal Japan.
That might be the current gen, the previous gen one.
If they do that, I will be so mad.
Feudal Japan would be pretty good for Assassin's Creed, but my only question is, now that I'm thinking about it, what if they made a version of Dynasty Warriors, but we actually cared? You know what I mean?
You mean like the Hyrule Warriors?
Not Samurai Warriors.
Thing?
Okay, so like all the characters they have in Samurai Warriors, but as the actual historical depictions and not the ones that can summon power using their magical musical instruments. Because it's a really interesting time in history. We have a lot of recorded history about it. It's vague. I wonder if one of the reasons Assassin's Creed 3 was bad. Assassin's Creed 3 was not bad because of its setting. I think the setting was good for Assassin's Creed 3, probably the best thing about that game.
Yes, it is the only one of the few things that is good about that game.
One of the things is that the American Revolution is very relevant as a setting to one group of people, well, maybe two groups of people in the world. And if you're going to branch out and do other things, Feudal Japan, you can still get the U.S. interest. But if you want to spike Japan's interest, it's like, oh, look, it's your history. Go kill everybody.
It's not even just that. I mean, just the entire gameplay with samurai and ninja, just the betrayals and all that stuff. And, like, you could the rich characters you could introduce for that era would be just – and the architecture and the environments would be – it just seems like a no-brainer that they have not done. And
The setup for Assassins versus Templars might have already, you know, been done. Ubisoft just has to go in and, like, scribble on the page, you know?
Yeah. It's I don't know. I just feel like I can't, like, I'm excited. Here's my excitement for Assassin's Creed Unity. I usually skip every other year, but I'm going to play this one just because it is being developed solely for current-gen consoles. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so the fact that they're not even bothering with a PS3, Xbox 360, Wii U version, that it makes me go, okay, I want to support this because I want this to happen sooner. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like Batman and this are the first two and The Witcher are the three that we know of that aren't bothering with
last gen. Dragon Age Inquisition is only current gen.
Oh,
right?
good.
Yeah. You know, I gotta ask, and Dragon Age was a very big franchise for EA. One that went beyond that game that came out right before Mass Effect 2.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Age 2 is a video game that came out. But Dragon Age, the name, is still a decent name. You know, they had that big following on Facebook with that Facebook game that tied into Dragon Age 2.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they being so damn quiet about Inquisition?
Oh, I'm sorry. It is coming out for PS3 and Xbox 360. Sorry.
Ah,
what is?
See.
Inquisition? Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I swear I heard that it was current gen only.
Unfortunately, it's a cross-gen game.
Yep. Oh, poop in the pants.
Totally poop in the pants.
They're probably going to wait for... I mean, there's not enough time. As far as I know, everyone says that's coming out this year. I'm not buying it.
Fall 2014, it's been confirmed.
I don't believe it.
What, Inquisition's coming out this year?
Yes, it is.
Well, we're probably going to see a bunch at E3 then, for sure.
I don't believe that's going to come out this year. If they show it at E3, maybe.
To be fair, this is similar to the release schedule they had with Dragon Age 1. When Dragon Age 1 was announced, it was a very short time up until the run-up to the launch. And it's funny because, like, when I saw it at E3, I was like, okay, this is still kind of seemed like a half-baked game. And, of course, when we finally got Dragon Age Origins, I was like, all right, yeah, it looks done. It looks pretty solid. Dragon Age Inquisition, though, I'm not really concerned about whether it comes out in the fall 2014 or not. I mean, I am more concerned whether they still have the stink coming from Dragon Age 2. Because I really did not like that game, and they need to go back to their roots, big time. And hopefully Inquisition is that move, you know? So... But going back to Ubisoft stuff, Far Cry 4, very excited about that. I don't know if it's coming out early 2015. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I need to play Far Cry 2.
It takes place in the Himalayas, and you can ride elephants.
All right. So it's going to be a lot of
That's
rounds.
The rumor. That's okay. The rumor.
Okay. So, cool. So we actually got done with all the news except for the firmware patch. But, you know, hey, firmware patch is firmware patch. Whatever.
500 app bubbles on the Vita. That's all you really need to know.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's other things that happened. There's a secret thing they did not say. And this is huge. NeoGAF lost their shit. The PlayStation Vita now updates itself for daylight savings time.
Wow, amazing. And on that note, oh shit, you know what we forgot, guys? We actually had fan mail, but we gotta save that for next week.
Okay.
Okay. It sucks, but I'm like, ah, crap, I forgot we have fan mail, shit. So, alright, so if you want to send us more fan mail but that we're just going to probably like save till next week, email us at afterhourspodcast@gamerhorizon.com. Promise, next time we'll read all the email. Promise. Cross our heart, hope to die. So, yeah.
Buy all the games this week. There's too many, but I have to buy them all.
Yeah.
And I may or may not be buying Dynasty Warriors 8. It depends whether I'm crazy.
Or Titanfall 360. Anyways, until next week, we'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.